Getting back into prospect mode post-rookie minicamp and talking about 2 7th-round draft picks from the San Francisco 49ers, tight end Braden Willis out of Oklahoma and Jalen Graham, the linebacker from Purdue. Strengths, weaknesses, how do they fit and can they stick with the San Francisco 49ers in 2023 and beyond? Coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker at BD Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks everybody for making us your first listen right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. We are going a little deeper dives here into some of the San Francisco 49ers rookies and draft picks today. A pair of 7th-rounders, one on offense, one on defense. Braden Willis, tight end from Oklahoma, and Jalen Graham, the linebacker from Purdue. Let's start with the first 7th-rounder, Croc, and get going here on a little bit of Braden Willis. And you know what's funny is watching these two prospects, Croc, and watching them back-to-back, there was a lot of similarities with these two guys. And like, if you were, like, let's say Oklahoma and Purdue got together and had a 5-on-5 pickup game, they would look at each other and go, like, yeah, I got that guy. He's got me. You know, they would guard each other. They're that similar as far as the mentality, as far as height, weight, athleticism, a lot of similarities between these two guys.
So, Peacock, there were a lot of things thrown out about Braden Willis and the type of player that he was. I've heard comparisons to Delanie Walker. And I was like, well, you know, you look at kind of how they're built, how, you know, in athletic traits, and this is without me watching Braden Willis. I'm like, that seems like it would kind of be a stretch, right? You look at Delanie Walker, he was 6'2", 245 pounds or whatever he was. You know, he was like really a receiver. That was like, I'm kind of this tweener. I ran fast, though. He ran like in the 4.4s or low 4.5s and kind of made that transition. So from an athletic trait standpoint, I think they were a lot different. I think the way people view them maybe being utilized is similar in the sense of H-back, maybe tight end. But also trying to find out, okay, who exactly is Braden Willis and, you know, what are his strengths, what are his weaknesses? So I'm interested to hear what you think about him because – We don't talk about these guys prior. We actually do our film study more independent, and then we'll come on here. And sometimes we might start a conversation that we're like, okay, hold it.
Wait,
for the show. So I actually have no idea how he feels about them, but it was interesting seeing both guys back to back. We both did that, kind of watched them and have really kind of, I think, maybe a different take on each guy.
Yeah, it's funny. I think I had talked a little bit more about Braden Willis because I'd watched him pre-draft and talked about him and had him in a mock draft to the San Francisco 49ers, but I hadn't watched much of Jalen Graham at all until I put on the tape recently, and he's not someone that I even graded post-draft because he's not someone that I really watched. But as far as Braden Willis, the tight end from Oklahoma, yeah, I've heard the Delanie Walker comparison, and as far as usage, I could see it. As far as how they win, what kind of athlete they are, totally different, like not even close. And you know, Delanie Walker was like a kick returner in college. He was really athletic and
kick returner for the 49ers.
Yeah, smaller program guy. And then Braden Willis is a big program guy, but has that versatility where you can split him out wide tight end, H-back, move him around, put him in the backfield as a fullback. And so for that reason, I can see the usage being similar to what Delanie Walker was with the 49ers, who started out as a backup tight end to Vernon Davis. And the thing that I love about both these prospects and that stands out right away about Braden Willis is how active he is and how willing he is to do what needs to be done, put his nose in there, block people wherever he is, fight for extra yardage after the catch. He's, you know, it's not surprising. And I felt the same way about Jair Brown too. You watched him, you're like, well, it's not a shocker that this is a gold helmet guy. And the 49ers had 2 gold helmet guys, and it was Jair Brown and Braden Willis were 2 gold helmet guys for the 49ers that they ended up drafting. I'm not surprised that he's a team leader. I'm not surprised that he's a team captain and all those things, just because of the way he plays, you can tell that he's about it every snap, every game that I watched. So good blocker. I think he actually, despite him not being very big, and I think he actually probably just by looking at his body type, I think he probably even bulked up to get to 241 at the combine, if I had to guess, because I think he probably played in the 230s just because he doesn't look that big of a guy. But even then, you know, he'll mix it up with whoever he needs to as a blocker. And I liked him as a lead blocker at times when he was in the backfield. The last couple of games I watched, he had 2 touchdowns. He had a touchdown in each game. Both of them were basically like uncovered touchdowns, though. And so as much as I like him as a blocker and as much as I like him with his effort, I think athletically, he's not going to create a ton on his own. He'll try hard after the catch. You know, I think he'll break a tackle or two here and there, but he's not going to run away from people at the NFL level. And I don't think he's shifty enough to just like create space in the NFL. But if Kyle Shanahan, which he's so good at doing for tight ends, creates space for him, he's got natural hands. And I think he can be a good receiver in that regard. My favorite play I've seen from Braden Willis, which sold me completely on him and is something that I'm sure the 49ers love, and I can envision the 49ers running this same exact play, is where he lines up on the left-hand side of the formation as an H-back. I think this was against Texas El Paso this past year, 2022. He lines up an H-back on the left side, and he comes across first, and they go end around to the wide receiver that's on his side, on the left side. And so he's the lead blocker. He comes around. He blocks two guys as a lead blocker for the wide receiver who's coming around. The wide receiver gets by him, makes another guy miss, and kind of slows down, getting caught up, breaking that tackle. Braden Willis, who was behind him after that, just hightails it, full effort to catch up to him, doesn't quite catch him, but is able to get his hands on a third guy, ends up blocking three guys on the same play on this end-around touchdown. And I could absolutely see George Kittle being the wide tight end on the front side, Braden Willis on the back side of the play, Debo Samuel getting an end-around and creating a big play. And so I'm sure Kyle Shanahan watched that and is like, oh, I love me a dude who blocked not one, not two, but three guys on the same play.
That might be the play that gave him the gold helmet.
Right, yeah, gold helmet type of play for sure.
It was interesting because you see that he's not the biggest of guys. And the first play that I watched, when I put on, I'm watching him against TCU, hand in the dirt. He's an attached tight end, like your traditional tight end. But I would say outside of that, most of the reps that I saw, or at least a high percentage of the snaps against TCU, he was more of in that H-back role. And I remember throwing out names like Chris Cooley. But while watching him, the name that came to mind the most was Kyle Juszczyk. Now, Here's the thing, and I think like that would be his probably ideal fit, to not have to win out in space a whole lot, not have to be this detached receiver. I like how they did. If they went about it with the thoughts of, you got Latu, you got Willis, these guys are different. They're very different. And if there's one where you want to make him more of a detached or traditional tight end, that would be Latu. And if the other one, if you want to maybe cross train, or you can kind of be a tight end, like you said, kind of to the backside of plays, but also kind of that lead blocker and kind of a contingency plan for a guy like Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah,
I could see him being that. From the blocking standpoint, the effort was clearly there. And like you said, he's balls to the wall. He's going out. He's trying to block guys. I think the further guys are away from him, the more he struggled, because you kind of see this lack of athleticism out in space. It was just like, he's kind of slow. But yeah, if it's right there in front of him, or, you know, he doesn't have to travel a whole lot and he kind of just has to come around the corner to seal off an edge or block a guy, I think he did that tremendously well. So, yeah. But there were times where they would like throw a screen and he would be kind of this detached tight end and he has to go block somebody out in space. And it's like, that's not quite his strength. So
yeah,
Kyle Juszczyk role felt the best, in my opinion. I think he'd excel in that. The one thing I don't know is that we know what Kyle Juszczyk is. He is extremely smart. And when I say we don't know, the 49ers know. They probably cross-referenced this and, you know, tested him and really tried to figure out where his mind was. And that's part of probably why he got the gold helmet. So I'm going to assume he's very smart. But I know Kyle Juszczyk does a lot of the checks for the quarterbacks. I mean, there was times where they said he would kind of call out things for the offensive line and make sure that the quarterback is squared away and set up. So, you know, he's able to retain a lot of information to really work multiple positions in the offense, whether he's blocking, lead blocker, tight end, lined up, split out. You know, we watched him run slot fade against Seattle and catch the ball down the field. He did all these different things and was able to retain a lot of information with different things that they're asking him to do. Can Braden Willis be that guy? And I don't know, but I'm going to assume they believe maybe with time he can develop into that type of player. But the blocking, I thought was good. The athleticism as a pure pass catcher, I thought wasn't the smoothest of guys, and it looked a little clunky, even though I watched him catch like an 80-yard touchdown against TCU.
Yeah, the TCU game was fun because they had D. Winters on the other side. And yeah, when we get to Jalen Graham, I watched him against Michigan with Ronnie Bell on the other side. So kind of seeing all these guys together. The TCU game, actually, let's hold on there. So more on the TCU game, more on Braden Willis as a prospect. Then we'll transition to Jalen Graham, a pair of San Francisco 49ers 7th round draft picks in 2023. next. Today's episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now new customers can get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win, up to $1,000. And there's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sports book, FanDuel. Not just NBA playoffs either. We got NHL playoffs. We've got Major League Baseball every day, all summer long, and NFL futures as well. So if you want to bet on those San Francisco 49ers to win the Super Bowl next season, you can do so. If you want to bet against the Los Angeles Lakers, for example, in the next round of the playoffs, you can do that as well at FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, Croc. Getting back into Brayden Willis a little bit here, the tight end prospect slash fullback prospect out of Oklahoma. And I think you're right. When they did split him out wide, they hardly ever threw him the ball. It was like, Brayden Willis is going to split out to the right side. We're going to throw it to these wide receivers on the left side. That was kind of what the offensive scheme was that I saw from Oklahoma. And he did get some passes and, you know, a couple, you know, slant here or there. The big play against TCU was, well, I'm going to run behind the linebackers and they're not going to chase me. So I'm going to catch this ball and run up the left sideline and hope to God these guys who are tracking me down fast as hell don't catch me. And so
they did catch him.
What's that?
Because I think I said he scored a touchdown, but he actually got tackled and out of bounds at the 1 yard line.
Oh, did he? I thought he made it in too. But you know what? He lined up as a lead blocker on the next play and they plunged it in.
They did. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a 2-point conversion when I saw that. It's a good catch.
That showed the speed, right? Or the lack thereof. Yeah.
In space, even as a blocker, he tries hard, but he does. You really see the lack of athleticism in space as a route runner. He's not going to shake guys, even as a blocker. Sometimes, you know, he's out here trying to, you know, he's kind of like lined up in a big slot formation, trying to go catch a DB, and the DB just like runs right around him. And so, I do see why he would make a better fullback. And by the way, Kyle Juszczyk was even tested a lot more athletic than Brayden Willis did. So if there's anything that holds Brayden Willis back, he's just not a great athlete.
Watching him at that kind of offset position, like as a fullback, and you know, I saw them do a play action and he's able to sneak out into the flats, and I think, you know, being able to catch it, and you talked about the toughness that he, you know, possesses after the catch, that's something that the 49ers could probably really lean on with his game. And I'm interested to see exactly where they start him off at. That might be something we need to ask to, you know, one of the beat writers, or, you know, Mayoko or Barrows or Grant Cohn. Where was he during rookie minicamp?
That's a good question, right? Because Latu's going to get first crack at the pure tight end reps, I would imagine, just because he was a third round pick and Willis was a seventh round pick, and there's a lot of bodies there. So I wonder if he does play a lot of fullback in practice. And is Josh Hokett still around? I don't know. Maybe he's going to get all of the backup fullback reps. We'll see. But that would suit him just fine. 6'3 and a half, 241 pounds at the combine. He's got long arms, 33-inch. Arm length, 32 inch vertical, 9'9" in the broad jump. He had bad agilities, went back to his pro day. He was 1 pound heavier at his pro day and even worse agility. So, you know, 20 bench press reps though. So you can see the strength. It's functional on the field, and he puts in work. By the way, the gold helmet indicates intelligence as well, Croc. That's one of the aspects. I think you got to have all the aspects to get the gold helmet. So intelligence is one. And just judging by everywhere he lined up in college, he probably had a pretty good knowledge of the offense to be able to really do all of his assignments and all of those alignments. So I got to imagine he's a smart dude.
Swiss Army knife was one of the things that came to mind.
Yeah.
I mean, when I sent out the tweet before we started recording, I almost attached that to him, and you know, just not a tight end. He's a Swiss Army knife. He plays multiple positions for them. I mean, talk about the touchdown. I mean, that was him lined up at the three spot. You know, I'm talking about, well, hey, I think he's best kind of around the line of scrimmage as an attached or fullback. And he's like, well, no. And I keep saying touchdown. I got caught at the 1 yard line, but he's like, no, Croc. Well, look at this big play here, where I was able to sneak behind some backers. Yeah.
And I think that was something I didn't like with the TCU linebackers, is everything's attack mode, go forward. And we saw that with D Winters, even though he's super athletic, he didn't seem to go in reverse. And I would like to see, and what the 49ers asked their linebackers to do is, when you see Brayden Willis coming across, you gotta get there. You gotta get out there to some space and catch that guy and get to the corner. And the TCU linebackers are like, oh, I don't care about this guy running behind me, tied in right now. He can go, you know. And I think I saw that with Purdue defense. And we talk about Jalen Graham here in a second. But a lot to like about Braden Willis. He's a seventh rounder. I don't think he's a lock to make the team necessarily, but he was a fun player to watch. And you know, I think he does have an opportunity for the 49ers to hold on to him. As a, you know, third tight end, fourth tight end, but also backup fullback and be somebody who's useful on special teams. So that'll be his path to the roster for sure.
Definitely.
Any other notes on Braden Willis before we move on to Jalen Graham here?
No, that was it. I think trying to paint the picture for the 49er faithful, it's really the alarming thing would probably be just pure lack of athleticism.
And we talked about the lack of athletes, the 49ers in this draft. Like, it wasn't a supremely athletic class. And I think the next guy is a good example of that. Oh, by the way, another Kyle Shanahan-y sort of a play from Willis. His touchdown that he scored against Texas El Paso, he was lined up in the backfield or kind of an H-back, I think, and, you know, kind of faked the block and everyone bit on it. And he was just by himself in the middle of the end zone to catch a touchdown. So that Swiss Army knife aspect where you don't know what he's going to do and where he's going to be, I think can help you. And I think Kyle Shanahan probably loves that about him.
Yeah.
Next, Jalen Graham, linebacker from Purdue, Kroc, a similarly sized athlete. And when I put on the tape, the first thing that stood out was I know where this guy's going to be on every play because he stands out like a sore thumb playing that overhang linebacker star position at 6'2", listed at 6'2", or at the combine, he was 6'2", 220, Kroc. He came back at his pro day 6'2", 226. If I didn't know that about him and just put on the tape, I would say he was 6'4", 240.
Yeah.
Like, he was big out there as a linebacker. He doesn't look like a small slash safety linebacker. He looks like a straight up linebacker or even an edge defender potentially. And that's where I think we might disagree a little bit more on Jalen Graham, but you go first on Jalen Graham. I want to hear what you have to say about him.
All right. So looking at the 49ers linebackers that they drafted, it feels like they got two guys that were direct replacements for the guys that potentially could leave or has left. Right. So when I looked at D Winters, I'm like, oh man, this is Dre Greenlaw 2.0. That's even faster, right? Like, you just see him when he's going sideline to sideline or he's in attack mode, and watching him against Oklahoma, you saw a quarterback try to scramble out in space. You're not getting away from D Winters. And every quarterback I've seen try to scramble in space from, like, just don't even try. Just go down or throw the ball away. Don't try to beat him around the corner. You're not going to. All right, so he's a penetrating type of guy. And reminds me of Dre Greenlaw. It's just like, just go. Or you could drop back. You could wall off some stuff. I think he does that fairly well. We saw the pick six against Michigan in the playoffs. When was that? Was that, yeah, that was playoffs, right? Pick six?
TCU? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but regardless, yeah, we're not talking about him right now. We're talking about Graham. Graham felt like he is a replacement for Aziz Al-Shaair. Like, he's the strong side backer. He's on the edge. He's stout versus the run, kind of holding off that edge there. Again, not the biggest or strongest guy in the sense of just moving bodies around, but just, okay, you want to put me here and you want me here? Like, good. And then they had him playing man on linebackers. On tight ends. I thought he did that well. He had a really good feel around the box to kind of slice in and make tackles. And I posted one of those to social media at @Eric_Crocker. You can find that. That's me trying to get some of my followers back that I lost during the Warriors Lakers series. But everything about him, it just felt like Aziz. Like, that's what I kept saying in my head while watching him go downhill. I think the coverage too, and you talked about sometimes, you know, everything is kind of downhill and with the TCU backers. I thought he did a good job of kind of walling things off. Okay, I'm going to stretch this out. Then I'm going to kind of drop into space and try to take away something that potentially can be behind me. There were a couple times where he didn't quite get there, and I'm not sure it was his responsibility. He just kind of had a feel for it, and the quarterback was able to throw over him. But overall, I was fairly impressed, and I walked away saying, 49ers know how to draft linebackers. And I thought D Winters and Graham were the different type of backers, but I think they both pose a very specific role. One's more of your, you know, off-ball backer. The other one is more of your strong side backer. That's what it felt like to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Strong side backer all day. And shout out to Matt Barrows and all the beat writers that were covering the rookie mini camp. That's where he lined up. He was in Al Shire's spot, strong side backer at mini camp. D. Winters was at Dre Greenlaw's weak side linebacker spot in minicamp. And it's, you know, that's exactly what they were on tape. That's exactly what they played. And that's why it was disappointing not to see D. Winters against Braden Willis a lot, because he's a tight end. So that's strong side. D. Winters on the weak side. So they didn't go head up a lot, although there was one nice block on D. Winters from Braden Willis in that game. Going back the other way to Jalen Graham here. I think his strengths and weaknesses are so similar to Braden Willis's, where you can tell right away that he's all about the business and will take on blocks, and he's very active and he chases every play. And you can tell he's like a leader. He's that type of a player, but I think he also suffers from a lack of athleticism, and that's where he differs a little bit from recent 49ers linebackers. He occasionally, you'll see him, you know, man up against a tight end, and he'll be lined up over wide receivers quite often. And it kept getting me, especially, you know, I'm watching him against Ronnie Bell, you know, at Michigan. I'm like, oh, we get to see a one-on-one matchup here. And it's like, nah, he's like a hook zone. He's just in zone. And he does a good job in that zone. You know, he's got long arms. Let's get his official testing numbers here. Jalen Graham is 6'2", 220 at the combine, 226 at his pro day. Again, he looks a lot bigger than that. Long 33-inch arms. He ran a 4.64 at the combine with a 30.5-inch vertical. He ran a 4.78, though, at his pro day, and a 1.72 10-yard split. So I don't know if he got a really bad start on that 40 time or what, but not great numbers there. And like Willis, not great agilities either.
Is his 40 at the combine and pro day the different time? Because I'm looking at 4.64.
Yeah, so combine was 4.64, and then it was 4.78 at his pro day. 6 pounds heavier at his pro day.
Why would you put on 6 pounds and then still go run? Just sit on your 4.64.
I would have not run it, because I think 6 foot six. I think 4.64 is a pretty good time for what I saw on tape, because he didn't look that fast on tape. I would really worry about what we just talked about earlier about him picking up linebackers, picking up crossers, and trying to run with them across the field. To be honest with you, when I saw Jalen Graham Crock, I wanted him close to the line of scrimmage. I wanted him, you know, taking on tight ends, less so taking on running backs. Definitely don't want him out in space trying to cover wide receivers. He was fine in the hook zone, you know, but when he had to move a lot, the further he got away, the little bit weirder it got for him. I saw guys run around him, running backs. He just didn't have the range to run them down. And I think that's where he differs from some past San Francisco 49ers linebackers. And I'm sure that's why they ended up drafting D. Winters over Jalen Graham when they were both on the board, as they said post draft. He looks like a guy that I would have thought was more in the 330s, and I would say, you know, gain 10 more pounds and maybe be an off ball rush linebacker with your arm length. And he's pretty good at setting the edge. I'm a little bit worried about him in space right now, Crock. And that's why I think for an offensive player like Braden Willis, if you're a little under athletic, that's okay, because you're in charge of where you're lining up and what you're doing as a defender. And in this day and age, a linebacker, if you're under athletic, teams are going to be able to attack you. And that's where I'd worry about Jalen Graham not being able to stick as much as Braden Willis, and probably why Willis went first.
And I thought he was stiff as a pass rusher, but with him being a strong side backer, you know, you don't have to guard receivers in space. You don't have to even really – you might have to guard a tight end. And I think at the line of scrimmage, he has long arms. I think he was a good kind of press guy. He attached very well there. But ultimately, he's more of your two-down guy. You know, when it comes to, that sub-package, or you got, you know, 11 personnel, he's coming off of the field, you know. So right. Some of your worries, I don't think, would be as big of an issue, because he's like, yeah, well, that's not where they're planning on using me anyways.
No, that's a great point, Croc. And more on that in a second, more on the fit for Jalen Graham. And if these guys can stick, Jalen Graham and Braden Willis, our final thoughts on the 2 7th round draft picks for the San Francisco 49ers next. Thank you once again, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Shout out to the Everydayers. Still some more draft picks and a lot of undrafted free agents for Croc and I to go through the film and break down as we get ready for the 2023 season. And, of course, all kinds of news with OTAs and mini camps happening. It's going to be a lot of fun in 2023. And hang out with us every day here. Become an Everydayer if you're not, on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcasts. So I think it's a great point, Croc. If I had to guess what his ultimate role is for the 49ers, I think we already saw it in rookie minicamp. I think you nailed it. It's Sam linebacker, strong side backer, two down type of a guy. And, you know, when you're going to sub, he's coming off the field, even if he was that starting Sam backer, because he's really good at setting the edge. And he's a little stiff, a little upright in his movements, you know, and which causes him some problems in space as well. So I wouldn't want him in coverage. I wouldn't want him really manning up. I think he might be a little bit of a liability there. But again, he gets after it. He's not afraid to take on whatever blocks he needs to, and he chases all day long. So it might make him a good special teams player as well. And that's probably his path to the roster. Special teams first, make the team, and then your strong side backer probably coming off the field on third downs. But the 49ers have Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw and now D Winters as well to be on the field in those other linebacker roles. So they don't need him to be an every down backer.
I think it'd be kind of hard to be good on special teams when you're listed at 6'2", 226, and you run a 4.78. That's scary. Now, if he's the 4.64, then cool. But again, right. I talked about my time in the NFL, and I remember showing up and doing – we were doing, like, these agility drills. And there was this, like, 3'4 outside backer from South Florida that was just beating me in drills. I mean, just these agility drills. I'm like, how the hell is this big dude beating me? Right, like, so the guys that make it on special teams in the NFL, they're kind of freakish athletes where they're 6'4", 245, and yeah, like a Jordan Willis.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, like he on defense, he kind of never put it together as a pass rusher or anything, but dude was what, 6'5", 270? And I think he ran 4.5s or something like that at the combine. It's like, dang, dude, that guy running down the field at you? That's kind of scary.
No wonder I didn't last long. They asked me to block him.
Block Jordan Willis. He's like, nah, no, thank you.
Yeah, all right, Crockwell, you got to go.
Oh, man. I think what hurts both these guys' chances is they both had players at the position they were drafted at in front of them in this draft. So if it comes down to roster politics, okay, well, you're Braden Willis. It's like you're fighting a guy who's already a third-round pick at tight end who's going to get reps ahead of you. You have two veterans on the roster who are already – you know, going to start out ahead of you, and you have to prove that you're so much better than them that the 49ers want to cut one of them and keep you instead and don't think you're going to make it back to the practice squad. And as a seventh rounder, there's a pretty good chance you might make it back to the practice squad. And I think it's a similar problem for Jalen Graham. And if I think back to even not just D Winters that was drafted ahead of him in this draft, but then you've got Marcelino McCrary-Ball from last year too. And if some other guys are better than you on special teams, are better than you on defense, it's going to be tough early in your career to make the roster. So I don't think anybody's a lock these days in the sixth and seventh round for the 49ers that is drafted. And they've got four of those guys this year that are going to be competing for roster spots. And no doubt one of those tight ends and one of those linebackers is going to make it. The question is, do two rookie linebackers and two rookie tight ends make the squad for the 49ers?
That is a great question. And I would say no. Now, there might be two of one, and if there was two of any that was going to make it, I would say the tight end, because Braden Willis, the thing that he brings, even though we kind of question him as a pure tight end, he still has that flexibility and versatility.
And he hung in there as a inline blocker in the reps I saw, even though he was, you know, moved around a lot and he wasn't your traditional tight end as much as Latu or as much as some other tight ends. He did hang with those blocks just fine. So I think he'll be looked at as someone who could play whatever role they need a tight end to play.
Exactly. And I think that's something that will ultimately help him. And even on special teams, he doesn't have to be this guy that's running down on kickoff, getting a bunch of tackles, but can he be a punt protector?
Yeah. Up back. Something like that. Yeah, for sure.
And like they will value, like the special team coach will value that. And he's the one that is really going to ultimately decide both of these guys' fate. So you might want to go in there and whoever the special teams coordinator is, got to kiss a little butt and say, hey, yeah, whatever you need me to do, I'm down to do it. All right.
Yeah. Brian Schneider, special teams coordinator for the 49ers, just became Braden Willis and Jalen Graham's best friend.
Yeah.
Or worst enemy come cut down day, if that's the case. Right. Real quick, one more note on Jalen Graham. There was a nice little matchup with he and Ronnie Bell in coverage. And again, Jalen Graham was just in the zone right there. And Ronnie Bell, he had him kind of bottled up. You know, he was in front of him. Quarterback was looking that way. Nobody was open. But then the quarterback scrambled, bought a little time. Then Ronnie Bell gave him a little something. And Jalen Graham was like, I don't know where I am or where that receiver just went. And then he completed the pass. But he had him in the nice zone coverage. But then once he had to, like, stick with him, like, because zone can turn to man right there, you know, then he lost him pretty quick, which you would expect from a wide receiver against a linebacker.
Yeah, you better be able to win that one. I mean, we've talked a lot about Ronnie Bell, and he's drafted in that same range, right? He was the third, seventh-round guy, and he's another guy kind of really fighting to figure out, hey, man, can I have a role? And you know, a lot of 49er receivers, and you want to see who's going to take that next step, especially when it comes to Danny Gray. And he was a guy who was a late third-round pick just a year ago. And it almost feels like he's an afterthought in this offense right now. But if the 49ers are going to keep five or even six, maybe six, Ronnie Bell has a chance. But if they feel like, these guys that we have kind of that we keep in the six, we could just bring one of these guys back to practice squad if there's not too much separation from them. And one thing I've noticed with being in the league, there isn't a whole lot. When you get down to the fifth and sixth guys and seventh guys, there's typically not a whole lot of separation. So they might look at four guys and say, we're good with either one of these four guys bringing them back on practice squad. So even if one of these guys gets signed away, we're fine with that because we can bring one of these other guys to the P squad. So that's the one thing that might be tough for him. He has to make it really, like, no doubt that he has a role in this team. And what's that going to be? Because you look at Ray McCloud. I mean, that's your slot. He does some different things.
He's not going to come.
I mean,
yeah, he's not going to jump into his first training camp and be a top four receiver on the 49ers if everyone's healthy.
Right. So top four, we're talking about Debo, Ayuk, Jennings, Ray McCloud.
Yeah.
So then there's Danny Gray and the others, and they're kind of going to be fighting for one or two spots.
Yep.
That's going to be tough.
That is going to be tough. Did you see the because on yesterday's pod, we talked about Jakur Pearson, who was the XFL guy. I saw some clips of there was a big touchdown he caught in practice. And I don't know if you saw it. Did you see it?
I did see it.
By the way, is he going to get in trouble? Is he going to get cut? Did he post that or who? Because that was like the team Skycam, right? Like that was the 11-on-11 footage, the all 22 footage from practice. And last year, dude got in trouble for it. Who was that? Was it the receiver? Yeah. Oh, no, that was Diamador.
Diamador with the press coverage. Okay. So this time there was no press because the guy did not get touched off the line of scrimmage.
And he lost him by like 12 yards. And like I was going to ask you if you could see the number. I could tell it was number 36 was the safety that came over who also was late getting there. Jakur looked like he had some speed there, but I don't know who he's going against. I don't think that was Luter, but it might have been. I wonder who that corner was that he blew by like nothing.
Yeah, the corner had no chance. And I always tell people, man, those small shifty receivers, those guys are the hardest, especially if they have some gas to them. And it looked like he did, especially on that play. That corner wasn't able to get hands on, and dude was just gone. And I said, ooh-wee, he is flying. He's flying. So we talked about Andrew Hawkins, and if you put enough highlight clips of practice together, that you might have a Andrew Hawkins clone. If you're on YouTube right now, you're watching this on YouTube, when you get done with this, after you hit the like button and subscribe and all that good stuff, type in Andrew Hawkins practice clips and just look at what it looks like. I mean, he was destroying guys for the Cincinnati Bengals. So I don't know if this guy can be that. Man, it was just that one clip. You could just feel it. And he actually tweeted out, he quote tweeted it and said, how'd you get this? So I don't know if he's trying to cover his tracks.
Okay. Oh, smart player too. He leaks it himself and then acts like, hey, how'd you get this footage?
Yeah, just get out there.
Genius.
The SF49er, shout out to my guy Brad Graham. I saw him post it. So Brad is good, man. He's in good with a lot of the players. He's in good with a lot of people with the 49ers organization. So I don't know if he did some sneaky stuff and got in there. I saw him post it though. And yeah, the receiver's curious. He's like, man, how'd this get out there? Now you don't look bad on it, that's for sure. You look great.
I'm sure he wanted to let everybody know that I didn't leak it.
Those are the things that you want out there. It was interesting when Deion Sanders, you know, you got all these people leaving, and there's one kid like, well, the coaches won't give me my film. So I guess any coaches that are interested, I'm sorry, I don't have film. And it's like everybody records their film. Everybody I know, their practice film NFL, especially NFL, because you never know when it's going to be over. College, I work with a kid, Strand, out here in Arkansas, and he went to UCA first, and he had any and every practice clip that he was involved in stored right there on his phone. So when he went to enter the portal and transfer, he had all of that, was able to put together an entire clip and send it off to colleges, and boom, got an offer, right? Like, you just never know. So you got to be prepared. And these receivers in the NFL, they need that too. I needed my film. My agent said, "Hey, Croc, need that practice film." I said, "Yes, sir." So I made sure he had it. Like, you got to have this stuff ready to go. This receiver, he's smart. You put it out there too, because the NFL have people like scouts, especially like the pro personnel people. Their whole job is to find the, like, how's this guy doing? Okay, we kind of liked him. Oh, he signed with the 49ers, but let's try to keep an eye on him. They scour through 49ers media and fans and all that stuff to find.
And you're not getting other teams' mini camp footage either. So they're not going to see it. It's not like the 49ers are like, "Hey, here's our mini camp footage so you can go find one of our guys that we're going to cut."
Right.
One more note, Jalen Graham note. I wonder if, and I don't know if you saw any of the 2021 or earlier, because I think he was a 4-year starter at Purdue on defense. That he had a tibia injury. So I wonder if maybe he was that lingered and some of the tape we're watching, maybe there was more athleticism there in previous years. And if there's more there potentially as an athlete, because remember Scott McClune loved the pick and loved Jalen Graham as a prospect, his article from talking with Matt Barrows. And he had talked about how he had watched him for a couple years. I wonder if maybe he lost a step from an injury last year. And if that had something to do with what we saw on tape being, because I expected a little more athleticism by some of the scouting reports and some of the things I had seen on him, despite the 40 time. I thought, it sounded like he was more athletic, and I was like, kind of disappointing. I wanted to see a little bit more from Jalen Graham.
I think around the line of scrimmage, I thought I saw enough athleticism. I would say if you did see a drop off maybe from one year to the next, it could be injury. And, I started the scouting academy, and Lewis Riddick is one of the instructors on there. And one thing he talked about was, like, context is really big in the scouting world. Like, just knowing, was a guy injured or hampered, or was he dealing with something, even if it's like a death of a family member, whatever it is, to where you could see a drop off. Like, now, if you're just seeing something that's extremely consistent throughout every film, that's one thing. But if you see like this oddball game where it's like, man, this guy, dude, what the heck? Why is he getting destroyed like this? And then you find out, oh, he's dealing with a broken ankle, and they just taped it up and made him play, right? So the scouts, they definitely look at context, as opposed to us. We don't have access. We don't have access to that knowledge of what's going on.
Yeah, and ideally you watch a game at the beginning of the season, the end of the season, then you'll notice a difference, and you'll see something like that. So just another interesting note there on Jalen Graham for sure. All right. Thanks, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every day right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Tomorrow, another Winky Wednesday. Thanks to all the everydayers. And if you're not an everydayer, make sure you're subscribed up on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Croc and I back tomorrow. Locked On 49ers.